I also feel very much in between worlds. Like, I am Taiwanese, but I'm also Canadian, and I want to see the kind of the fullness of that. I'm interested in normalizing all of our identities in a way, because I do believe that we're all the same at the end of the day, and that if we can have more understanding towards each other, then we can connect better and feel less alone and feel less threatened by each other.
Welcome to Bitch Talk. I'm your host, Erin, here with my co-host, Ange, aka Captain Party. And over the last 10 years, we've been elevating marginalized voices through interviews and events.
Sometimes over a glass of whiskey. If you're thirsty for more bitches, head over to bitchtalkpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram.
A big thank you to 48 Hills and our listeners for voting us Best of the Bay Best Podcast in 2022 and 2023.
And now, on with the show.
Hey, Bitch Talkers, we have director Sharon Lee on our Zoom today. So excited to have you on the show, Sharon. Welcome to Bitch Talk. You can say whatever you want, however you want. So you have directed the film Float. Can you please introduce our audience to what Float is?
Okay, so Float is a romantic beach drama about Waverly, who is on her way to see her parents in Taiwan when they last minute cancel her plans. So she impulsively flies to BC to visit her estranged artist aunt. And while she's there, she almost drowns at a party, and her next door neighbor, Blake, saves her. And it's their love story as he teaches her how to swim.
So this film is adapted from a book. I'm curious to know why you were drawn to this story and in the process of turning it into a film, how you made it your own.
Yeah. So this is an adaptation from Kate Marchant's Wattpad book called Float. And I was brought onto the project by Collective Pictures. They were looking for a director for this film. They had options for Robbie. So Robbie Amell was attached already to the project. So when I read Kate's book, it was kind of uncanny how much I could relate to it, even though the book is about a 17-year-old girl from Alaska that her parents had just gotten the divorce and they don't know who to take her. So they ship her to her aunt in Florida. And I could relate to the, you know, complicated relationship with my parents. I could also relate to the whole, I never learned how to swim as a kid. I went to a few lessons, but, you know, we just never, we moved a lot. You know, we immigrated to Canada when I was six. And I've come to learn that, you know, it is a bit of an immigrant experience to kind of not know how to swim. And then so I took adult swimming lessons, and then I went traveling in my early 20s and fell in love. So there was just so many things that aligned with my own stories, and it was really cool that Kate and Wattpad and Lionsgate were open for me to bring so much of myself into this film. So yeah, the film is kind of like a marriage of both Kate's story and my story. And we aged the characters up by 10 years, and that was a really cool thing to do because her audience, she wrote the book when she was 15. So 15 to 28, she wrote the book. So her audience was also these teenagers that are now in their 20s, and it was cool to be able to kind of grow with them as well.
So it sounds like they allowed you to take a lot of liberties and apply a lot of your story or some of your story to this screenplay. And I just wanted to ask, why was it important to highlight the Asian intergenerational expectations throughout the story? Because now this is going to be in theaters, it's a Lionsgate film. So this might be new to some folks that see this.
Yeah. Well, when I was adapting the film, it was really just a personal thing for me, to come from a place that I knew for myself. And, as I mentioned, I'm an immigrant, so, and I'm this, and also like the theme of belonging is something that I really struggle with. And not only with different communities that I am part of, but also with my own family and my own parents. And exploring that tension, so was something that I thought was in the book as well. Like she is kind of rejected by her parents off the top. And so this was my personal way of connecting to it. And, as we all know, representation is so important. And I think that's where it is. It's like your personal story, when you tell it to others, they relate to it. And often I don't really know, or I'm not necessarily intentionally putting something in to represent, but I know that because it was true for me, it will be true for other people. And after the few screenings we had, I think this big response from especially from lots of people of different backgrounds, and actually lots of people who are immigrants, but most specifically, I think from young Asian women, has been just so overwhelming and impactful and very powerful. So that's really, really cool.
I think that is a really important point, universally, but specifically our own. Waverly continuously says, apologizes for being too impulsive, or, I should get my life back on track, which is very much, an immigrant, first generation, whatever it is, mentality. But when you talk to your friends about it, you realize everybody goes through that and everybody feels that way. We just want control, but there's no such thing, right? Life will constantly push you back off track. And the point is to be flexible and be able to roll with those punches.
Yeah, and I think also there's this idea that I think we, I mean, I know I like will always think of other people and be like, okay, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to like, put you out. But it's like they didn't say that, like that's kind of irresponsible to assume those things. And I think we have to take responsibility for our own belonging. If you want to feel like you belong, you need to speak up. You need to tell people how you feel and what you want. Like, people can't read your mind, and yeah, I think that is perhaps like an Asian trait, but it's definitely something that lots of women struggle with, lots of, people in our society struggle with as well. Yeah, so I mean, we do exist in the communities, and it's hard to kind of differentiate between what we do for other people and what we do for ourselves.
I wanted to talk a little bit about casting, and I love the aunt role. I love the actor. I want more of her. Can you talk about her role? And actually, who the artist is too, who creates the murals. And I love the merman. I mean, I love all of those things. And I love that little kid. Is it Haven Marcus?
Oh, yes. Oh, I don't know who it is, but yes, who you're
We
talking
have
about.
a can we have a side story with those two characters? I
I
love
would like to have
it.
him as our bitch talk mascot, maybe.
Right.
Very charming.
Oh man, definitely shout out to Haven. Okay, so that's actually a really cool story. We were in the town scouting when we came across this boy on the side of the street selling pickles. And I was looking, I had been struggling with the scene of, Waverly arriving and kind of how to portray this town in a very, like, I don't know, like lived in organic way. And I didn't know what it was, And then when I saw this boy, I was like, it's him. We have to put him in the movie. And then I told my producers and we went looking for this boy. We didn't know who he was. And then we couldn't find him and we had to shoot, and we ended up auditioning kids. And the script was, I think it was just pickles, pickles. Like, I think that was the line. And Haven showed up in his audition with a guitar, with the song. And I was like, okay, I mean, he has to do it.
Wow.
And then we ended up finding the boy, like, I think the day before we shot, it was so close, and we ended up using his stand. So all of the stuff in the movie is like the real life boy's stand. So it worked out really well, yeah, it was cool.
How can we get those pickles, Sharon? Send us some pickles. We'll pay whatever. Seriously.
It was cool because we got I think it was a really good day for that boy because the whole crew
Oh.
got pickles, and you'll have to visit. You'll just have to visit Squamish and find him.
Oh, so sweet. Well, I'll talk about the elephant in the room. Aaron and I are old. And we talk about we often talk about
Is that the elephant in the room? Okay, go
elephant in
ahead.
every room. I don't know. We're dealing with it. We go to therapy. But
Yeah,
we talk
therapy.
about all the time, like, oh, when we were young, we were starving to see people on the screen, people in movies, people in the music industry that looked like us. So it's always really exciting for us to talk to someone like you who's like up and coming in the industry. You're in your prime. And when I was reading about your bio, you've lived this incredible life as well. You took a year off to travel. You took this boat ride from Mexico to Guatemala. And like, I'm just interested to see where you see yourself in this industry having such unique life experience.
Wow, what a question. I think a lot about life and how I want to live my life. And I think that as a storyteller, you have to have life experience, and you have to question life, you have to reflect on life, and you have to see a lot of things. And I am definitely like in the constant state of questioning everything. But travel is a big part of my life. I think it really humbles you and takes you, like, decenters your existence. And yeah, it keeps you on your toes. So I think for me, we talked a bit about representation, and it's a tough, thing in a way, but it's also like a really easy thing because you just have to be yourself. You just have to represent yourself. You don't have to represent a community. You just have to like reflect the life that you exist in. And for me, I was born in Taiwan. I grew up in Montreal, speaking French, and then moved to Toronto when I went to a French high school. And like, so I've always been in extremely diverse places. I'm really lucky that way. And I didn't grow up with a group of Asian friends. Like, I didn't know another Taiwanese person, as a kid, and other than my own family. And so I'm really craving that representation. And I also feel very much in between worlds. Like, I am Taiwanese, but I'm also Canadian, and I am relate to a lot of both worlds. And I want to see that, like, more, like, I guess not. I want to see the kind of the fullness of that, and not just tell stories about identity, because I think that's tricky. I'm interested in normalizing all of our identities in a way, because I do believe that we're all the same at the end of the day, and that if we can have more understanding towards each other, then we can connect better and feel less alone and feel less threatened by each other. Because I think it's normal that we're afraid of things we don't know. But I think at the end of the day, yeah, we're all pretty much the same.
I know we have to wrap in just a minute, but I have to mention your short film, The Things You Think I'm Thinking. Found it on your website. And right before this interview, I texted Ange, I'm like, you need to watch this. Can you talk a little bit about that short? I mean, that's representation 1,000,000%.
Yeah. So the things I think I'm thinking of is a first date story from burn survivor and amputee. And I worked on it with Jesse Livercomb, who was my co-writer on Float, and he also stars in the short. And he brought that's a good example of what I the stories I want to tell, because I remember seeing the script and being like, oh my God, I'm scared. Like, I'm scared of doing this. I'm scared of meeting Prince, who's the actor who is the birth survivor and amputee. And, you know, as the first time I met Prince, I was like, oh no, what do I do? I can't shake his hand. Like, what, like, how? And he just was like, hey, I'm Prince, and like came in for a hug, and everything melted away in that moment. And I really wanted to make a short that represented him as a normal guy who has friends, who has, you know, who wants to go on dates and like has a nice apartment. You know, I think a lot of stories of people who are disabled are maybe, you know, not as they are like living. I didn't want him to like live in a shitty apartment and has like no friends and this like terrible existence. And I'm not saying those stories aren't real and don't exist, but I wanted to tell a different kind of story. And again, like normalize, make him feel like any one of us.
No,
It's
it was beautiful.
beautiful.
And
So good.
yeah, it's a great short. And I recognize him from Station 11. So we've been speaking with director Sharon Lee of the film Float. Thank you so much for being on Bitch Talk, Sharon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. You can find more information about this episode in our show notes.
If you're missing us, you can visit us at bitchtalkpodcast.com to sign up for our newsletter and buy us a cup of coffee.
Did you know we're also on the radio? You can find us at bff.fm.
And lastly, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All the cool bitches are doing it.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.